1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll just read down through verse 11, which we will not get through at all. I know y'all were thinking we were going at blazing speed, but I was dizzy myself, and so I thought I'd slow down. So we're going to get down through actually verse 6, but we'll read the whole section here. I think it's a natural place. I'm not just joking with you. I hope there's a natural division here. And so we're going to get down to verse 6 and take it up, this passage again next week as well. Okay, here we go. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that anything be written to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall in no way escape. But ye, brethren, are not in the darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. For ye are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness, so then let us not sleep as do the rest, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us, since we are of the day, be sober, putting on breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet a hope of salvation. For God appointeth us not to wrath, but to the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, exhort one another and build each other up, even as ye also do. All right. You'll remember last week that the Thessalonians were kind of shaken somewhere in the history of events that befell the Thessalonians. After Paul left, someone, I'm just surmising this. No, it's not said in the scripture, but I'm just, I think it's a good, it probably happened. Someone died. And the Thessalonians weren't expecting that. They were expecting this God, Christ to come. And it shook them. What's going to happen to our loved ones that have passed away? And so you have the answer to that, in that right at the end of chapter 4. And he says, I do not want you to be ignorant concerning those who sleep. Because they were ignorant. I mean, it's not that they were ignorant in a bad way, that they were foolish and just oblivious. They just didn't know. But now, with verse 1 of chapter 5 of First Thessalonians, he says, he's still talking about the second coming. And he says, but now, I have no need to write to you about the times and the seasons. They did know what he's getting ready to tell them. They did know much what's going to happen with the dead in Christ, their loved ones. But they did know that Jesus was coming back. You know, we're going to make a short application even right there. We don't have to know everything. It's not like when we get to heaven there's going to be a secret handshake, you know, or some secret esoteric knowledge that we must have to get in to heaven. Do you understand the Trinity? Do you know what the word Trinity means? That word is relatively late in church history. They knew the concept of the Trinity, but the word itself came much later in church history. So we don't actually have to know a bunch of stuff. You read the whole first part of Thessalonians here, and Paul loved them. He thought they were grand Christians. It just oozes out of them. He calls them brethren, and just see it. He loved them. And they didn't know what was going to happen to their loved ones when they died, if they died before the second coming. What a silly thing they didn't know. We would smile at it because we know, but they didn't. But one thing they did know, he says, brethren, you have no one need to write you about the second coming, verse 1. Concerning the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that ought be written to you. Anything be written. What's it say, New American Standard? Ought? Anything? I like ought. That's a good word. It's kind of archaic. If we say ought, say that down the street at the gas station, they won't know what we're talking about. In fact, we ought not to use the word ought. But it's a biblical word. Or nothing, anything. You have no need for anyone to tell you about the second coming because you know it. In fact, well, let's go first of all, before we get there. The idea of the second coming or the return, God coming to the earth and God fulfilling in some breaking into history was a very, let's just set this straight here, was a very Jewish thing, and most Jews knew it, that one day the Messiah would come and things would be put right. Read the book of Daniel. Read the prophets. And they knew it. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is there after his resurrection, and he's talking to the saints, and they said, Lord, dost thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They knew this was supposed to happen. In Mark chapter 13, when Jesus is talking about the temple, it says, tell us, when shall these things be? They knew that God was going to break into history, but they wanted to know a little more exactitude about this. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus says, take heed yourself, lest your hearts be overcharged with drunkenness and the cares of this life, that the day come upon you suddenly as a snare upon all those who come upon the face of the earth. The idea of God breaking into history was a common thing for a Jew. Isn't it wonderful the Jews came ahead of us and we learned from them? It's a great gift. I'm going to say it again, I've said it many times. Anti-Semitism is so alien to Christianity. If you don't like Jews, then you don't like Jesus. That ought to make the internet. That was a good one. But the point is, the Jewish people had God's teaching all along the way. And they knew that something was coming, and they were expecting it, and they were wondering about it. They asked Jesus about it. And so the whole concept of a second coming or the return of God setting up his kingdom was not foreign to the Jewish heart, but it was to the Gentile. Remember, we said this all last week. Remember when they laughed when Paul said the resurrection that's coming in Athens? Who would ever heard such a thing? That's what the Gentile thought about a second coming or the resurrection of the dead or this great day. The concept was foreign to the Greek. But these Thessalonians knew it. They had a strong faith concerning... It says in chapter 4, verse 9, that concerning the love of the brethren, they had no need to anyone write to them about it. Concerning the second coming, what Paul says right here, you have no need for anybody to tell you about the second coming. Paul mentioned it in chapter 3, verse 13. He says he mentions the second coming of our Lord with all his saints. You go look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. For what he says in chapter 2, verse 19, we're working our way back. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of glory? Is it not even you before our Lord Jesus at his coming? For you are our glory and our joy. It's kind of just presumed. Paul's just talking to the Thessalonians like they knew this day was coming. In chapter 1, verse 9, he says, I remember how you turned from God, from idols, to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. This idea, Paul must have jumped right on this with the Thessalonians when he was preaching to them. It's kind of like the old days when they didn't do this, at least not that I remember. When you walk the aisle there in a Baptist church and they make you sign the card. Remember that? Anybody signed a card? Did you sign a card, Lebeth, or are you too bad much of a little kid? Was that you in cradle row? Did you sign a cradle row card?
I didn't sign anything. I had my mother with me.
I see her. Her mother signed the card. What she means is, as we go through these rigmaroles about getting saved, but you know one of the very first things Paul said to those Thessalonians when they came to God, Jesus is coming back. Not only are you believing in Jesus to save you and that he died for you and that he was raised from the dead, but he's coming back for you. That was right top of the list. So Paul says, I have no need to write to you about this. You may have not have understood about what happened to your loved ones in between the resurrection and all that, but you knew it was coming. In fact, they knew it was coming, so and they were so strong on it when one of their loved ones died, it threw them into a tizzy. And so that's what Paul writes about in the end of chapter 4. You know, Christianity is all about this second coming business. It's so integral that we lose half of our joy. I don't know if Steve knows this, but it happened. But Steve, back when in our college days, I was a part of a singing group. Can y'all believe that? I cannot sing. It was a little group. I forget what they call it. Milton Peasley, Steve Kennard, Jeff Apt, and Steve Williford. I think it was just we four. Were there? Okay. Well, we went to Cleburne. Do you remember this, Steve? And we sang in our little church. And we stood up and we sang, Jesus is soon coming. Steve may not know this, but that caused a real tizzy in the Christian church in Cleburne. After we went back to college and left them in a tizzy to my mother to deal with. But they said, everybody has said that about Jesus coming. You know, that's not central to our faith. Oh, it is. Jesus is soon coming. In fact, if in Christ we have hoped in this life only, we're of all people most to be pitied. Jesus is coming. And he's coming to get those who belong to him. And then comes the end when he delivers up, I'm going to read it to you, the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he puts all of his enemies under his feet. This is something just mixed in with Christianity. You can't separate it. Okay. I'm going to read to you something that written generally at the end of the 4th century. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the 3rd day rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He will come. That's the Apostles' Creed. Can we all say that? He's coming. God, make this a living hope in us. Do we know this in our spirits as the Thessalonians knew it? It's a question. I have written in one of my Bibles up in the front, and I don't know, I copied it from somebody, so I can't take any credit for it. But the greatest fear we should have in life, that our inheritance is here. That we are looking forward to having good things in this life. If this is the way we are, I don't know who said it, but that's something to be feared. What we should have in our spirits is this event that's coming at the end of history. So here we come to our verse. Boy, Jeff is already down 15 minutes and hadn't even started. So, okay, Paul says, now concerning the times and the seasons. They knew, what does this mean? As to the times and seasons, you don't have anybody to need to tell you about it. They knew about the times and the seasons. What did Paul mean by that? Now, hopefully I'll answer that. Verse 3. For when they are saying peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall no wise escape. And this is all in reference to the day of the Lord. Verse 2. You yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in a night. So these saints they knew about the day of the Lord. They knew God had His day. Did you know God has a day? We look forward to birthdays. In our family, all of our grandkids have rip-snorting birthdays. When's that going to end, Anna? Is it a burden for you? I know it's a burden for Abigail. You know, she has to be more and more creative with each birthday for the kids to make them happy on that day. There's a day coming. The Lord's Day. And I'm not talking about Sunday. The day of the Lord. He says, the day of the Lord. The Lord Jesus will have His day. It's marked on the calendar somewhere. Now, he says, as to the times and the seasons, first of all, it's His day. It is the day. It's a very specific day. Now, Paul says, as to the day of the Lord, it is coming as a thief in the night. That day is coming. It's surely coming. But we have no exactitude as to the times and the seasons. The exact time. Did you know time has there's points in time. And you could divide time up into hours and seconds and milliseconds, and you could just divide it up into the tiniest fractions of time. But there is coming a moment as sure as anything, when crack, the command of God, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and things begin to happen outside of history. History will end as we know it. Now, but the day is coming, and he says there's no, we know it's coming. The Thessalonians knew it's coming, but they didn't know the exactitude. It's coming as a thief in a night. The very thing they knew, the Thessalonians knew, that it was coming surely. But listen, what is the nature? What is the season, you might say, of his coming? It's a season of, it's a general season that's, there's an always an unexpected nature about the Lord's coming. Every one of us, if we are alive at that day, we'll be surprised. No one's going to say, I knew it. No one's going to say, oh, I knew it. I wish I'd have sold stock or something silly. I knew I didn't have to study for that test. I knew it. No, there'll be an inexact, our knowledge of the second coming, we have strong Christian spiritual knowledge of Christ coming, but it's inexact. It's coming as a thief. Its nature is that it comes as a thief. The exact nature of the season, we kind of know, is it spring here or summer already come? What do y'all vote? Is it spring still?
Yeah.
Steve says it is. You can't tell in Texas by the calendar, can you? But you see, it's the nature. The part of the nature of the second coming and the day of the Lord is that it's an inexact time. It comes as a thief. Thieves don't tell you when they're coming. I live in three little houses over there on Lenana Street. And when someone goes on a trip, the others always call. When someone goes on a trip, that one person always calls or texts the other two of us. I'm going on a trip. Keep an eye on things. They're not for sure. But just in case some robber comes, they want us all watching. It's an inexact thing, these thieves. The moment you don't turn on the system, what the security system is, the day they come. Steve's looking at me. Our church up there in Dallas bought a security system. You remember that, Steve? He is now. Security system, as we lived in a rough neighborhood, and it was supposed to, you know, make, you know, blaring whistles and stuff, and lights go flashing when someone broke in. The very night I forgot to turn it on, someone broke in.
Stole
the system, yeah. I was embarrassed. But you see, thieves don't come. You don't ever know. Steve distanced himself from me at that point. He said, well, he steps back away from me. They were a sweet group. Did anybody say anything mean to me? Not a word. I don't know what they were thinking. But you see, a thief comes when you don't expect him. The Lord is going to come. But it's inexact. In fact, people will be saying the voices of the day. Listen to what it says. They will be saying. Doesn't it say that? I wish I didn't put this scripture on it. It says, they, when they are saying peace and safety, he'll come. Peace, there's nothing going on. Safety, there's no reason to even worry. Life is rocking along fine. We misinterpret Christ's teaching on this second coming, you know, about earthquakes and et cetera, as if the world is going to be apocalyptic in the non-biblical sense, as if, you know, what's that country down South America where they haven't had electricity for a month? What is that country?
Venezuela.
That's apocalyptic. We all think when the whole world is like Venezuela, then we'll know that the Lord's coming. No, people will be saying peace and safety. You can't listen to the voices of this age. The voices of this age will lull us asleep. They will be saying peace and safety. Oh, the voices of the day. The world says all kinds of things to us, but one of the things it says is peace and safety. The nature of that day, verse 3, ruin and destruction will come upon them suddenly. Annihilation. When Christ comes, all that men have lived for, it'll go up in smoke. It'll be annihilated. Things that men have died for and killed for and cheated for and maybe even lived honorable lives for will be just snapped off. And then it says annihilation, destruction shall come upon them. Unlooked for. And Paul uses the analogy like childbirth, and not a happy agony. I mean, men sit back and, you know, water breaks and there's some pain, and we go, oh, good, I'm going to have a child. But the woman goes, I don't know. Leah Beth said point blank to me as they were wheeling her in, I don't think I want to do this. Why? She expected some, you know. Agony. But the agony that's coming on this earth is not a happy agony. It'll be an agony of loss of everything taken from us. The world. The world will just, oh. And there will be no panting and no drugs, no spinal to end the pain. It'll be pure agony to the earth when Jesus returns. That's Paul's illustration. I think Jonathan Edwards didn't have much on Paul. It's coming. Agonizing loss. Now, in verse 3, he says, and cometh upon them. Verse 3, I'm going to read the verse 3 again here. For when they are saying peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them. They, in the first part, who? The they, you'll read that? When they are saying, and then down at the end of verse 3, upon them. Who's the they and the them? English teachers say, what is the antecedent to those pronouns? Is that what English teachers say? What does they and them refer to? Who are, if it's they, then there must be a we. If there's a them, there must be an us. There's these two groups of people. Paul is almost just prying apart the Thessalonians. He's wanting them to see this. Hint, I'll give you a hint here. The Thessalonians may have not known the fate of those who sleep, but they knew the truth of the second coming. Now, they knew the truth, but others didn't. In chapter 4, but in chapter 4, he speaks of another group. He says that you work so you can make money, so you behave well towards the outsiders. It's the they. It's the we and they, this divide here. Paul is telling the Thessalonians in a very subtle way that there's true groups of humanity, the we and the they. He says, behave well in chapter 4 towards outsiders. Or he says there in chapter 4 as well, that we grieve not as the rest. You have Christians, they don't grieve at their loved one's loss because they know heaven's coming for them. It's a very subtle thing here, but in this chapter, it becomes very pointed. Who are these they? I mean, we know who the they are. They're the lost. Who are the we? Verse 4, we are not in darkness. The Christian is a man that lives in the light. You know, light is a place of safety. Two houses down from me is Giuseppe Cefalo from Louisiana. And he's a police officer. And his house is lit up like a Christmas tree when he leaves. Light. It's a hint. Turn your lights on. You are not in darkness. Christians live in the light. Indeed, they are sons of the light. They are sons of the day. And then he goes on in verse 4, that the day of the Lord shall overtake us. Here's this we and they. The Christians live, we don't have an exact knowledge of His coming. In fact, we live in an exactitude. We are not for sure, but it shall not catch us unawares. Now, you explain that to me. We are a different people. Look at verse 4. I read this passage, I thought there's a lot of we verbs in here. Verse 4. But brethren, ye are not in darkness. Look at verse 5. For ye are sons of light. Let's see, what's the other one? Verse 8. But let us, since we are of the day, we are a unique people. Paul is trying to tell these Thessalonians who they are. They're sons of light. They're not sons of darkness. They are a different people. What does this have reference to do with the second coming? You know how it'll be sudden when Jesus appears, but there'll be something in us that is not shocked at all. We will greet it almost as if we were at the door, holding the door open for the visitor to come. Like at Christmas, my dad, at Christmas, when we would go up to Cleburne, that little hick town, and Christmas Day, we'd pile out of that car, and my dad would be standing there and open the door, and my mother would have the video camera or vice versa. You remember this, Anna? My dad had a white suit on. He's ready. A white suit with a red tie for Christmas. He was ready for our appearing. You know what? When Jesus comes, you'll be ready. You are children of the light. This ought to comfort you. It will not overtake us in verse 4. It won't just come upon us and say, we. The day will be unexpected for believer and unbeliever alike, but it is the latter, not the former, who are taken by surprise. We will not be taken by surprise. Paul said this. We will not be caught unaware. How do I know that? Because we love him. Do we know the exact date? No. Do we sense his presence coming? Do we know that he's just... Listen. Paul said to the Romans, it's just the anticipation is just right in Paul's... People say, oh, Paul must have misunderstood. Poor Paul. Yeah, poor Paul. Well, he had an expectation of the second coming in his own life, in his own day and time. Oh, poor Paul. Listen what Paul said to the Romans. Brethren, this you know, the time, that the hour has come for you to awake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us than we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. Let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, this anticipation of Christ's return so worked in his spirit. That he wanted to live for that day. Now, in verse 6, he says that very same thing. So then, let us not sleep as the rest, but let us watch and be sober. It's not going to catch us by surprise. So what should we do in light of that? Be awake. Be sober. So some specifics next week. But let me end with this. The day has dawned. The hour has come to wake from sleep. The night is far gone. The very presence of Christ coming is already in our hearts, just trembling there and alive. If we dug around in our hearts, you know, this is the one thing that would give us true joy. You say, well, I'll have joy I'd like to have that new Cadillac that they're coming out with. That'll be fun. Or I'd like to go to Europe or this or that. You know, if we dug down in our hearts as Christians, you know what would just brighten our day? Is the thought of the reality of that trumpet of God. Jesus soon cometh. The trump shall appear. How's that song goes? The trump shall sound so clear. Anybody got, you got any more? Oh, I should get Steve to sing it. Well, we need a lot of parts. But it's coming. He soon comes. Paul says, you know this stuff. And they were a month or two old in Christianity. They knew it. No need to write to you about it. Aren't you glad he did anyway? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you that in our spirits we are a unique generation. We are of the second Adam. There's a great divide in all of mankind. Those who long for your son's coming and those who fear it and fear the day of reckoning. Father, we thank you that you've written this in our hearts, and we know, Father, we don't resolve to do anything. We would, Lord, be the kind of people you want us to be. May we be sons of the light. May it be a part of our behavior. Sons of the day. Pray this in Jesus' name, Father. We pray you change us more. Father, we know that all of heaven looks down on this earth today, and they would say to us, Jesus, come soon. Wake up to it. Live for it. Pant for it. Father, we ask you that you'd put these things in our heart, in our spirits. Father, it'll help us. It'll give us joy. Pray this in Jesus' name, Father. Amen.